This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 125. Tom, how's it going, Mr. Jungle Man in the Zoom jungle?
Hi, yes, I'm here. We should probably take a screen grab so people can see.
That's a good idea.
At the moment, I am in Africa, floating down the Congo River, I believe. Behind me, we see the second most dangerous animal of the jungle. The African elephant, the more dangerous animal, of course, being his mother-in-law.
Ba-boom.
Yes, I'm on the jungle cruise because I was supposed to be at Disneyland today.
I was going to ask about when that was supposed to be because I was supposed to as well. No, I don't think we have spoken about it.
We didn't address it.
No, we did this whole elaborate story. Yeah.
Pull back the curtain.
Yeah, okay. So I was supposed to go to Japan in March. So we set up, you know, to have a chat with Nabil. That was a lot of fun. And that was supposed to be, that was recorded and supposed to play when I was in Japan. And then there was your first solo one where we recorded it and I wasn't supposed to be there, but I actually was. But then couldn't go to Japan because, I don't know, some pandemic happened. And you at the time when I said I couldn't, I'm not going, you said I have just cancelled my trip too.
Yes. So all of a sudden the 4 weeks back to back we had sorted out of fun and games was no longer quite as applicable, and some of the stuff we might have recorded for an episode to go out this week was not appropriate.
So no, not at all.
Back at it again.
Yeah. But that's all. It's all good. So this is like the first proper one that we've done because obviously last week we had the wonderful Dan and Steph coming on talking about what they like to watch because they're still working, being essential workers. So this one's sort of like first normal one for weeks and weeks and weeks.
It's the first technically business as usual. I would also like to point out that today marks the fifth week of isolation for me.
Holy dooly.
I'm going insane. You've seen my haircut. I don't know if we've shared it out, but if people want to watch this, want to see, let us know. I'm looking very Joe Exotic.
Well, why not? You know, how many people see you when you go to the supermarket?
Not many.
Yeah.
Mind you, I had a very interesting experience yesterday. I took Shay for a walk around the block. Great idea. Get a bit of fresh air. She brought her skipping rope. And as we started, she's skipping away and she goes, I want to show you a move. I said, is this a good move? She said, it's a great move. I said, okay, show us. She goes, it's called the Tower of Terror. She starts spinning the thing at her side. She goes, you've got to run through it. I said, oh, I think that's a bit short for me. She goes, no, you'd be good. So I ran through it. Yep, straight in the jacksie, right up. Caught it. No. Yep, testicles and butthole.
Great.
I promptly then turned around and threw up in a neighbor's yard.
Oh, no.
As they walked out.
Oh, and, no.
I got to wave and be like, no, I'm not sick. She just put me in the tackle and my hat fell off.
And you look like Joe Exotic.
Yep. So things are going well in my world. How about you, Leah?
Yeah, not too bad. Well, we've just done Easter, which was which was cool because I haven't been to – I have been isolating, but I've been isolating either in the studio or at home. So I have two places that I'm still going. So I still feel like I'm out and about. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Even though it's the only two places.
I get an hour on Wednesday morning.
You're so lucky.
I know. I go to the supermarket and I look at people with judgment and then I come back home and disinfect myself.
I know. The disinfectant thing is insane. Yeah. So over Easter, I obviously was just at home and I really enjoyed it. I tried to go for a couple of walks. I was trying to go really early because I've noticed on my drive to and from work every day, there's just so many people walking around the neighborhood, which is great.
Yeah.
But I wanted to not be part of the big group.
You've got to watch out for that slipstream.
Yeah. Yeah, so I tried to go super early, and it wasn't until I was coming back that I started to have people not approach me, but, you know, wander down the same footpath. I was also trying to go, because in the suburb that I live in, there's a lot of roads that don't have footpaths, so you just kind of walk on the nature strip, and I found they're less populated, so I was doing the nature strips because people don't want to walk on grass.
No, and it's a funny thing that you get some people that just have no intention of shifting, or, you know, you've got to share the footpath. I'll budge for some people, but other people, you're like, hey, come on, I'm carrying shopping, or I've got a kid with me. You bump off and let us come around.
Yeah, I also think that obviously when we walk to the left, because that's the same as what we do in cars.
Yep, driving.
Drive on the left, so you walk on the left. So if you're walking on the left and you're closest to the nature strip and the road, you're the person that has to move, because the other person's like rammed up against a house.
Yeah.
And I did, there was one woman who did not get that. So I made a huffing sound. I think you would have been very impressed with it, because I feel, yeah, it was one of those.
Was there a tut?
Yeah.
Good.
You got to stick to the rules.
Yeah. So what episode of We Are the Walkers is this?
This is. This is number one of the Hijacked 125.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Candid Camera, Jackass, Punked, Impractical Jokers. I mean, the list goes on. Well, it doesn't, because I've stopped listing the shows, but people love watching other people get publicly embarrassed. It's human nature. But often these shows can be awkward and cringy to the max. And it makes it very difficult for normal people to watch without having to turn away or change the channel. It's terribly worrisome and anxiety-inducing for some folk, which is why we've created a new program called Mildly Pranking. It's practical jokes, but on a much calmer scale. On Mildly Pranking, we reduce embarrassment to the bare minimum, so it's watchable with hilarious but safe antics such as stick your finger in a cat's mouth as they yawn and watch their confusion. Your brother ducks away from the kitchen table for a moment at dinner time and you hide his plate in the microwave so his food is still nice and warm when he gets back. When asked to take a photo of people, take a video instead so there's amusing footage of them smiling and holding their pose. Prank calling the person sitting next to you, then hanging up really quickly when they reach for their phone. Classic, simple tomfoolery for the whole family to enjoy. Mildly Pranking, streaming now.
So we've got a few stories. There's not obviously much news stories around, but we've been watching a lot. I've got an easy, fun synopsis quiz for you.
Cool.
It's Amy Poehler related.
Oh.
Yeah. Hello. So there's quite a lot of stuff that she's done over the years. So we'll do that a little bit later on. Should we crack into some of the news stories? I've got two and a bit.
I've got one news story and one personal news story.
Okay. I would like the personal news story first.
All right, it's very simple, but if I sound interesting, I got a pair of these weird neck speakers that I'm talking to you all from. They're Bose things, because I got a pair of those Bose sunglasses. You know I love those, but that's an outdoor thing. So I got these speakers for at home because I am homeschooling Shay and there's a lot of noise and I'm used to having some quiet and I was going bananas. So these headphones are kind of like, they're not even headphones. They're like speakers and stuff, but you put them around your neck and it's like having a diving bell helmet on. It turns all the sound off. It's great.
They kind of look a little, like a neck pillow that you would travel, on a plane, but like way smaller, way smaller. Yeah.
Yes. They're no good for laying down.
Okay.
Just push a neck the wrong way and all this sort of stuff.
Right.
But for sitting up and building Lego or painting or a lot of the things that I enjoy and do, they're great to get a little bit quiet. So if I sound different to you because you are in the professional studio on the professional microphone.
Still using
just
it.
Letting everyone know, that's what's happening. We're pivoting. We're agile.
We're having a test. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because last week, I think you just were using iPad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which was fine, but now I can sit back a bit and see you whilst still coming through pretty clear.
Yeah, there's a time. I'm sure that everybody would be able to hear there's a tiny little bit of crackling every now and then, but It's not annoying.
But it also weirdly means that I can have the audio from my phone and the iPad coming through at the same time. So I've been twisting my brain and watching quiet films with a podcast on.
Wow. Look, you're getting as much entertainment into your head as possible.
Because the new stuff is trailing down. So I'm burning through backlog, which is, you know, that's the name of the game at the moment, I'm sure, for a lot of people, getting through a bit of backlog
absolutely.
Stuff. And it's the same with my Lego and my Warhammer and all sorts of things that I'm doing. So, yeah, sitting there and watching plenty of documentaries and anyway, stuff that I'm not getting into. But it's just, I'm saying, good headphones.
Yeah.
Now is a good time, people, while you're home. If you're in a position to crack out the headphones that you'd normally wear at work, for some reason it feels like being back in the studio rather than just sitting on the iPad and talking this way. It's a I don't know, psychological thing for me, but I feel like I'm working more than just chatting into what I watch things on.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's the news? You've got some actual news, not just here's what I done.
Well, I saw that Disney are going to remake, they're going to do, I'm pretty sure it's a live action CGI sort of hybrid thing of their Robin Hood movie from the 70s.
Oodalally.
I used to love that movie when I was a kid. I watched it a lot. Robin Hood, of course, being a fox in it, and there's all these other creatures. I think there were rhinos were guards at some point. Like,
yep.
There's no sort of geographical, realistic foxes are in England, but definitely not rhinos.
It doesn't hold up to tighter scrutiny, but it's one of the ones that reused a lot of the famous Disney animation pieces and stuff like that. So certain dance sequences and things, they've lifted the same animatic movement and stuff like that. But I don't know, I'm really on board with it. When I was 11, I was in a public speaking competition and we had to do an impromptu speech and we got given our topics, and somehow I was up against 17 and 18 year old girls. And I got given that Robin Hood was the hero, and I'm like, yeah, of course he is. And I stood up and talked about Fox, because I didn't know that Robin Hood was a real thing from history. All I knew about was cartoon fox.
You were talking about a fox.
I was apparently very endearing.
That's the nice way of saying it.
Yes. So, well, that's pretty cool. I'm done with that. Do we know if that's for cinema or Disney Plus?
Disney Plus. And I think it's potentially because of the fact that there is no cinema. Having said that, though, this was apparently one of the last deals solidified by Disney before the whole lockdown. So maybe they were always going to put it on Disney Plus. I'm not sure. Or maybe they've pivoted it. I'm not sure.
No, I think it would be, because they did that with Lady and the Tramp. That went straight to Disney Plus.
True.
That was an actual decision. And if you kind of look at the tiers of films that they'd remake, you would very much put, you know, Sword in the Stone, Aristocrats. There's a bunch that kind of fall into that same sort of thing as your Robin Hood. I can see all that sort of stuff having a real nice home on Disney Plus. It also kind of manages expectations for them of Mulan is a theater experience that they're going to spend 200 plus mil making, whereas this as a Disney Plus is probably more in the 100 mil or less bracket. So I think it's good for managing expectations. I'm down with that. That's cool.
And also it's giving us new content for Disney Plus, which is exclusive. I think I might jump in and watch the original now that we've got time to watch stuff. I think this would be a good time to watch it again.
Why not?
Yeah, it's been a few years and I know where to find it. Give me reason to watch Disney Plus. You said you have another.
I don't have another news story, but you reminded me of something. There's a new show coming to Disney Plus, I believe in May, next month, or might be end of this month, called Prop Culture. And it's a documentary series of them going into the Disney prop vaults where cameras have never been allowed before, and showing both restoration and preservation of really famous Disney movie props. I'm most amped because apparently there's an episode about Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and a lot of that stuff has never been publicly seen of what were the items that Christopher Lloyd and Bob Hoskins were interacting with, all this sort of stuff. It's so nerdy, but I'm there for it.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. Yes. That's what you need on Disney Plus if you're an adult, that kind of show.
Yeah. I want that. I want that Animal Kingdom show to start soon, the one from the zoo.
Yes, we really quacked at the principal. Are we ducks or what? You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
My other news story is a very nerdy thing, but like I got to give a shout out to your boy, The Witcher, my boy, Superman, and my friend Lee. My friend Lee, his actual friend, Henry Cavill, who blew up a very, very small niche nerdy part of the internet over the weekend. He's an out and proud nerd, and he's one of those nerds that still constantly has to defend the fact that he's a nerd. And it drives me nuts of guys will accuse girls of being fake geeks, but they will also do the same thing to a jock or a guy that's gotten buff. Mm. And there are plenty of dudes in their 30s and 40s and stuff that are mega buff that grew up mad nerdy. And Henry Cavill is one of them. And, you know, he loves The Witcher. He loves Superman. He's very proud and talks openly about this stuff. And he's mentioned in the past that he loves Warhammer, but never really gone too in depth of what it is. And then over the weekend, he posted a photo, a super close-up of him painting I think it's an Alaris Custodian from the Custodian Guard or the Adeptus Custodes, which is a very, very elite army of Warhammer. And the way he wrote about what he was doing shows that he really, really knows his stuff.
Yeah, right.
And the part that made me go, was he outed himself as a lore nerd and not L-A-W-L-O-R-E, which I know you're a big fan of, you know, the expanded storyline of stuff.
Yeah.
And a big part of Warhammer for me, probably the biggest part, is reading. Like I paint a bit, I barely ever play. It's the stories and the world building that I love. And it makes total sense when you look at it, of this guy's a big part of the DC universe. He was a huge part in getting The Witcher not just made, but be so successful and beloved is his passion for it. And then he's got this one. Now, in the background of this photo that he's working on, there's something on his computer screen that he says he's reading up for a future project. He doesn't say what it is, but it's got Warhammer nerds going,
Oh, really?
Because there's this Eisenhorn TV show that's meant to be happening, and he would be a pretty good choice to play this guy who's a pretty rogue, not necessarily a good guy on the good guy's side. He's very, very ruthless and willing to exterminate an entire planet to wipe out one bad person, this sort of stuff. But he's on the side of the technically angels. So I could see him slotting into that very well. But everyone in Warhammer world's been playing, who could Henry Cavill play all weekend? And it's just awesome. That's great content. He's thrown it out there. I feel for the guy that he has to constantly justify his nerd credentials because they are very, very strong. I don't know how you prove you're a nerd more than being Superman and Joe.
Yeah, that's right. And I remember sort of the publicity videos that they had for The Witcher. They would have him explaining the difference between, you know, a sword that the witchers used to kill monsters, or and then a different sword for the humans, you know, silver sword or whatever. And it was the kind of thing that he could easily have been told what to say, but it came off like he knew.
It wasn't that he knew; he believed.
Yeah,
like this is what I had to do to bring Geralt to life.
Mm.
I love that level of commitment. Yeah, and so yeah, if you want to see some real feel good stories with this sort of stuff, with the nerdy gear, the other one that's really worth looking into is just jump on Google and type in Robin Williams Warhammer, because so when he died, he apparently had like two storage containers filled with painted miniatures.
Wow.
He would take them on the road. And when he'd come off show at the end of the night, this is, you know, after his debaucherous era, when he'd come off stage at night, in order to relax and basically come down off the high of a stage, he'd sit and paint for 2 or 3 hours every night.
It's a good idea.
And there's all these stories of when he'd just show up randomly in Warhammer stores with his army in a bag and challenge someone randomly. He'd love it. If someone was concentrating, working, painting with their head down, he'd come up quietly, sit down next to them, ask them what they're working on, wait for them to look up, and then challenge them to a game. And he narrated the games that they played. And if you want some stories that will get you all happy, emotional, go and read some of the stories people are sharing on Reddit at the moment of the time Robin Williams came to their store and put on a live performance.
That's amazing.
Really, really good stuff.
I still love the fact that he named his daughter Zelda because he loved the game.
Yep.
All the games. Yep.
So passionate about this stuff and, you know, a very, very, very proud. There's a long-running joke with Warhammer in that there's an army called the Orcs. They're green skins from space. You've seen them in Lord of the Rings and this sort of stuff as well. But they worship two gods. The gods of the Orcs are Mork and Gork. Gork is the god of cunning. No, Gork is the god of fighting, but it might be Mork.
Right.
Mork is the god of cunning, but it might be Gork.
Okay.
So no one really knows. Anyway, there's this whole thing that maybe, just maybe, Robin Williams had a say in the idea of Mork.
As soon as you said Mork, I was like, oh, yeah.
And he did have an orc army at one point that worshipped Mork, and there was some rainbow paint involved.
That's gold. Oh, yes. What a great story.
That's what I thought. It's easy. It's not really news stuff, but if you want to go and check out some fun, there you go.
I like that sort of fun.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
I saw on Vanity Fair's website, actually I saw it on Twitter, they have put up a couple of first looks of the movie Dune.
I saw that.
Yeah, so I mean there's only one shot as of this recording, but they did say later on in the article that they would be releasing other photos and whatnot, but it looks pretty good.
Is it a photo of Timothy Chalamet?
That's right, otherwise known as Atreides, is that his name? Somebody Atreides?
Call him Mumbait.
Paul, that's right. I always remember, I'm like, it's a really normal name. His name's Paul.
He is Mumbait.
Mumbait, yeah, for sure.
Every mum wants a bit of Timothy Chalamet. This is what I've learned.
Which is a bit odd because he looks very young. Like he's got he's like Tom Holland. He looks super young.
Yes, and when he's not acting, when he's himself, acts really, really, really young. I don't get it. Anyway. Timothy Chalamet, great actor.
Great
just
actor.
Just don't quite get the whole Mumbait thing.
Yeah, it's totally fair enough.
This
movie's supposed to come out in December or something?
Maybe. He controls the vaccine, controls when the movies come out.
Isn't that right at the moment? Everything's on hold. Another story I saw, yet again, you know, shows trying to figure out how they're going to do their show. Katy Perry, who's a judge on American Idol, she went on Facebook, did a Facebook Live over Easter and was sort of answering fans' questions about what exactly is going on with American Idol and how they're going to do like the live shows. And she said, they're exploring options, and she said, we're going to have to be really sort of creative. I know we're going to have to be really creative. So the judges will be judging from their homes. So I assume that, like, then the contestants will have to be performing from their homes. I can't think of any other way.
It's going to look like red faces.
Yes, but Zoom style.
The talent pool is going to, like, all right. One of the shows that I'm going to be talking about that I watched will tie into this quite nicely of what we're talking about here, of we're going to have to manage our expectations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because there's
funny,
no makeup department.
There's no makeup department. There's no lighting department.
Set, costumes, music.
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of, I mean, I don't know, there's now everything on television will start looking like a YouTuber who has been YouTubing daily vlogs for years. That's what it's going to look like. Everybody's going to be sitting at their desk with something in the background, whether it's an elephant or, you know, some sort of Funko Pop, I don't know, or their Oscars. It's all going to look the same.
People are going to get creative.
People will have to get creative. Because otherwise they're just going to look like Twitch streamers. Everybody's going to be a Twitch streamer.
But you got. Not that I watch any of it, but haven't the, I don't know if it's Channel 7 or one of them, haven't they recreated the backdrop of their normal set at home?
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe it's Tracy Grimshaw or someone, and a dog keeps bothering her. I don't know. I keep seeing these updates on Facebook. I'm like, I don't watch you on television. Why would you bother me with this here? Go away.
I like people like Jimmy Fallon at the moment. It's his wife filming it. His kids show up every now and then, and he just zooms guests in.
Hey, should we jump into what we've watched? And I can tell you one thing that I watched last night.
Yeah, go on. This is right. The watching suggestion area. Da-da-da-da-da.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Saturday Night Live is no more. Now we have Saturday Night Live at home.
That's got to be weird.
It was awesome.
Really?
It was not perfect. It felt like watching a comedy review from a university. But oh my goodness, did these guys adjust quickly and come up with something new on the fly. It was great. So basically everyone's still at home in their own quarantine. The show starts. Tom Hanks was the host. Of course, he doesn't appear in the skits with the rest of them, but you might have seen things going around on Facebook about that. He takes questions from the audience, which is just him in silly costumes, including him in a Cobra holding a Vegemite going, "Hey, Mr. Tommy Tim Tam, how much bloody Vegemite you meant to put on?" He goes, "I'm not answering that," moves on. So that was a really good start, but it was then the show starts and that Saturday Night Live saxophone there, everyone knows that, kicks in, and then you get shots of them being cool around the city and everything like that. They've recreated that all perfectly from home.
Oh, that's awesome.
And everyone just looks so depressed. And Kate McKinnon's one is just staring into the camera, eating with her mouth open. Someone else is depressedly falling into a pool. All this, so it was really solid. And then, I mean, not all the jokes worked, all the segments. That's Saturday Night Live.
Exactly. That's normal.
Pete Davidson recorded two banging hip-hop tracks with awesome music videos that were directed by his mum because he still lives at home.
Cool. At least he's got a cameraman.
Yep. So one song was called "I Got $2,000. I got $2,000. I feel like a baller." It's not that much. All this sort of stuff. Yeah. So, and you can tell a few of them are getting really creative, learning how to, or not learning, but like messing with editing and this sort of stuff.
Yep.
And then you get Kate McKinnon, who did her Ruth Bader Ginsburg character, but without the costume or any of the makeup or anything, just doing the voice and being silly with it in front of signs. And it really worked. And it was one of those things of like, okay, this is cool to see. It's a little clunky now, but 4 weeks from now, these guys are going to have a real better idea. There is one skit that is way, way, way too relevant to the world right now of six people in a Zoom call. Mm. Two of them are the office secretaries who have never used, they just run the phones. One of them just got an email just for this meeting. And oh boy, the things that get said in that, everyone's heard in a Zoom so far, like the, "Hey, is everyone in here wearing pants?" And it was so spot on. Really good. So I really enjoyed it. It wasn't great. It was awesome to see people changing on the fly.
I would also imagine, like you being, the audience, I would imagine the rest of the audience would be quite forgiving because of the novelty of it at the moment. Yeah, and like I you said, so. They'll improve and that will be more enjoyable for people.
Yeah, it could just be a shot in the arm the show needs, because it needs a shot in the arm every few years.
Yeah.
And it's weird. It's not live anymore at all. It's all pre-recorded segments. But that might make it easier for new voices to join the show as well. If people are making fantastic content at home, Lonely Island style, maybe they can approach the show that way rather than having to be a fantastic live performer. Changes the focus and the impetus of the show a little. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, cool. That sounds interesting. Speaking of sketch comedy shows on Netflix, I actually watched it last week, but
I'll allow it.
Thanks. Thanks so much. The Eliza Scheslinger Show.
Yes.
Sketch show.
I always struggle with that name.
Thanks. I did practice. Actually, I've also got a friend whose name is similar.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, think of her, but change it to the Schull. Yeah, so it's super random. I think it starts off with a sketch that because I was trying to be a bit critical. I was like, I think maybe they could have picked a different sketch because they were, it was like Jackass, but only women. So it was like women pretend to be Jackass. And I'm like, this is 2020. Sure. I get the joke, but it's not. She had better ones in there, I thought, that were just quick skits that she could have, they could have picked at the very beginning. But it's really quick. I think there's only like 8 episodes. Maybe 6, actually, 20-ish minutes each. And some of the sketches are really fast. I've seen her before. Like, she's in stuff. She's a comedian. I'd say a lot of people would recognize her face.
If you're on Netflix, she's probably been shoved at you at some point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So they list her stuff regularly and push her. And like, I think they must have some producing deal with her.
There has to
like
be
that.
A deal. Yeah.
She's up there.
But it's a lot of fun and it's just silly fun and it's good stuff to watch when you're trying not to read or listen or watch the news.
Yeah,
it's real good escapist stuff. Yeah, so if you've got Netflix and you haven't watched it yet, it's definitely worthwhile watching. I think it's in the first episode, there's this bizarre meeting around a conference table, not Zoom, like face-to-face, where everybody's eating peaches. And it's just so random that it's funny. And you know how some things... I know French and Saunders used to do this a lot where it would be random, but they kept doing it. Like, and the scene would be longer than you think it should be. So it gets to the tipping point where suddenly it's hilarious again. And that's what this scene did. There's a bit of gold in there. Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's called endurance comedy or something like that. Yeah, the idea of killing the joke so hard that it comes back. I love it.
The only program dumb enough to cross the streams. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, look, I'm going to mention a few films that I have seen that got released early, and I'm just going to list them off quick because I don't want to spoil too much for them because there's a fantastic opportunity for everyone to jump on these.
True.
Now, I will say again that I am working from US iTunes account, so there are some films that I've seen because of that are not available in Australia yet, but okay. I imagine will be. There is one that I think might not come out until like September, though, or something.
Right.
So the first one I'll say is The Hunt, which we talked about last year and got postponed.
What's the face from Glow is in it?
Betty Gilpin. Someone.
Yeah, Gilpin. Yep, yep.
It's got Glenn Howerton, who's Dennis from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Ike Barinholtz, Justin Hartley, who used to be like, he was Aquaman. He was also Green Arrow back in Smallville, all this sort of stuff. Very, very violent. I enjoyed it more than I expected. I didn't realize till the very end it's actually written by Damon Lindelof, a.k.a. the guy who actually wrote Lost and The Watchmen. Like, he did the most recent Watchmen series and all this sort of stuff. So this film is really, really red button, like a hot button stuff. It was never publicly called this, but there's a lot of rumors that it was originally going to be called Red State versus Blue State. And it is exactly that of liberals hunting conservatives. But no one in this film is a good person. You will leave it feeling quite dirty. And a lot of people get horribly, horribly, horribly taken out.
Is it because we...
On both sides.
Yeah, right, okay. Because we did spend a fair bit of time talking about this on and off because it kept getting delayed and whatnot. Is it what you expected?
No.
Because that's interesting because I feel like if I was to go in watching it now, I would feel like I know what I'm going to watch.
You will know the first 30 to 40 minutes.
Okay.
And that I'm not telling any further than that, but this is like I'm telling you as nice as I can. I didn't realize it was written by the guy who wrote Lost, aka the man who thrives on mystery and long-term revelation.
Right.
And just like The Watchmen has it, how it peels back and you realize a few times over that what you thought you were watching was not quite it, that's what happens with this.
Okay. Yeah, I get you.
So it's not – I don't put it up there with Cabin in the Woods. It's not quite as sharp as that.
Right.
That was just still the funniest and best takedown of that genre I've seen for a while. but this had some interesting things to say. It wasn't super deep, but it really made you question things. And honestly, I don't think it's a safe movie for too many people in America to be watching right now with the way things are at the moment and people at each other's throats a little bit. This stokes that fire a little bit. But for someone watching from outside, it was pretty damn funny.
Yeah.
Ethan Suplee, formerly of My Name is Earl. Mm. Remember, he was the big unit. Mm. He's not a big unit.
I've heard he's lost weight.
Yeah. It's looking good.
So that's The Hunt.
So yeah. Yes, so The Hunt was pretty good. I will move on now to Impractical Jokers, the movie, which came out on April Fool's Day on US iTunes. I don't think it has an Australian release date yet. As you can imagine, I was super amped for it. I'm glad I watched online. My expectations were managed a little bit. It's not a good movie, but there are some really, really funny parts in there.
That's a real shame. That it's not great.
Well, the first 10 minutes is kind of narrative and setting up everything of why they're doing the rest of the movie. Once it gets 10 minutes in and they start doing what you know them for, the crazy pranks and stunts and this sort of stuff, movie's fantastic. And it has one, two that I would put in the top 10 greatest stitch-ups they've ever done to each other across the 200 whatever episodes they've had. Sal is the real nervy guy, and they've stitched him up pretty much every season of the show at some point with a human in a cat suit. He's terrified of cats.
Okay.
And there's this long-running joke that they lock him in a room with someone who's dressed as a cat, like in a proper mascot cat suit, who will then harass him and he'll end up cowering on the floor. They lock him in a hotel room, and the camera angle is the same as every other time they've ever done the stunt. He seems more relaxed than usual. And the real tiger comes out.
Oh, my God, no.
Actual tiger, like chained up to the bathtub. And then he turns around, panics, and goes to open the door, and the doorknob comes off. And he's locked in the room with a tiger.
Oh, man. I mean, I think tigers are amazing, and I would still be like,
loses it. So it was a great way to spend an hour and a half and have a laugh because I love those guys and love that show.
Yeah.
If you've never seen it before, it is not the best introduction to their work because the 10-minute narrative stuff at the beginning of them telling written jokes is kind of clunky. And we're so used to them being 100% natural and loose and telling jokes as themselves that seeing them playing themselves 20, 30 years ago, whatever it's meant to be, doesn't hold up as well. Anyway, that I quite enjoyed it, but it's a difficult one to recommend. Another one that I find difficult to recommend, but for a different reason, was Guns Akimbo, which has sat on my pile for a few weeks ago.
That
a few
was,
weeks now.
Not Elijah Wood, Harry Potter.
The other one,
Danny Radcliffe. Like. Yeah.
Danny Radcliffe. He's a video game designer who trolls online. He says, you know, he's a proper SJW. He pisses off the wrong people that run a, you know, deadliest game style online reality hunting competition, and they break in, knock him out, and he wakes up with handguns bolted into his hands and 50 bullets in each, and that's it. And he has to kill someone hunting him or be killed. And it was a lot like Crank, which, you know, I love Crank. Not as insane, because nothing can be as insane as Crank 2, High Voltage. But it's still pretty damn good fun. You could tell Daniel Radcliffe was having a whale of a time playing against type. And you know, he starts out as, you know, panicky and nervy and slowly gets more and more confident throughout until he becomes the gamer that he always imagined himself to be. And not bad.
I mean, I watched the trailer, and it kind of gave me, it almost had like a bit of a Running Man vibe to it.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that you've seen before stapled together.
Okay.
Not tons of original ideas, but with enough of a wry smile and just a love for what they're doing that it really kind of works. But if you're a Harry Potter fan but not a fan of that sort of movie, I wouldn't.
Okay.
Really violent,
yeah,
and he has a really bad time, really, really, really bad time, and gets hurt a lot.
Okay. Well, the trailer does give you that. It gives you a warning, I think.
yeah, you know, it's been very high on my list of must-see bugshit crazy films. I think it's number two for the year behind Butt Boy, which comes out this maybe today. Ooh.
Remember that movie? That one sounds odd. Yeah. He smuggles stuff
up his butt.
Like,
and not like little stuff. Like,
no, like he could potentially put that elephant, you know, an elephant or something. Yeah, just weird. Yeah. Weird.
He might be people smuggling.
Weird.
And look, the other movie that I will mention that I saw early, and this is the one that's real early because I think it was meant to come out this week or next week in Australia, and it's now been pushed back to maybe September, is Trolls World Tour.
Oh, right.
So Trolls 2.
Yeah.
That is available to rent only, not purchase, on the US iTunes store. And I think they kind of timed it a little bit to be out with Easter. There's a little bit of Easter celebration for families and things, but great fun.
Good
really
fun.
Really good movie. Almost everyone for the first movie is back. I noticed Gwen Stefani was not in the mix.
Okay.
My boy Ron Funches gets a whole lot more to do. Without giving too much away, the first one was about the trolls dealing with some evil giants and stuff, but weren't that evil, and learning about acceptance. This one is about them learning that there are other troll tribes, and that they are the pop trolls, and they go and meet the other ones.
Mm.
Because the queen of the hard rock trolls is going around and stealing the power from the other ones. So it starts off with her, you know, attacking techno. There we've got funk, classical, pop, country, techno, and hard rock are the six. Well, the six that we know about at the beginning. And then we learn about more, and maybe there's fusions, and there are some mercenaries that are sent out representing minority or like smaller groups. So there's a five deadly Kill Bill style K-pop assassins.
That's awesome. That's cool.
There's a tribe of reggaeton dancers. And my personal favorite that I wrote down because it's amazing, there's a floating angelic smooth jazz.
Ooh, okay.
Who looks like Kenny G and has the hair and plays the smooth sax. And when he plays the sax, it puts people in, like they trip out.
Like they go in a trance.
No, like they've taken acid.
Oh, right, okay.
And this is already an acid-y looking movie of day glow colors and stuff. But all of a sudden, like the trolls start tripping out and seeing real world things.
Oh, no way.
They trip out and see stuff from our world in their world. And it was so funny. I destroyed me. I was not expecting to laugh that hard.
Did Shay watch it with you?
Yeah. Yeah. So
did she love it?
We all watched it together and she loved it. Mm. It was a shame that's rent only, because once you start watching it on iTunes, you get 48 hours. So it's already gone. Mm. So I could pay for it again. I told her this is what it used to be like when you had to borrow from Blockbuster or Video Easy.
That's right.
In Australia.
Yeah.
But yeah, really good. And folks in the States at the moment, if you want to watch something with the little ones and give them a real treat, this really held up. Some of the new voices in there are great. Rachel Bloom from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend plays the villain. Her father is Ozzy Osbourne, which you know I was super into.
Yeah, right.
George Clinton and Mary J. Blige are the king and queen of funk, as they
of
should
course,
be.
Yeah. It'll be illegal if they cast anybody else.
And I'm not going to tell you some of the other people in there, because there's some real genuinely good surprises. There's a few voices you'll hear that you go, that's spot on.
Yeah.
I have to say, country, classical. You think of a few names that might be associated there that work pretty well. Yeah.
I have some names popping up. Any other movies that you watched?
Oh, look, I've rewatched The Avengers, all four of them again, just for a laugh. That was good fun. We don't need to go into it. Just telling you. Same, I watched American Ultra. Doesn't hold up. I enjoyed it the first time. I don't know why I thought it was so good. It's rubbish. Anyway, I stand corrected. There's a message from the corrections department.
it's a shame when that happens. You're like, oh yeah, I'm going to watch this because I'm really out. It's terrible.
Yeah, I think it's just because I know Max Landis did it and know more about it.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah.
One of those ones. Well, hey, I've hogged them enough. What have you been watching?
Well, I have watched a series of movies, but not the whole movie, because all last week at a particular point in time of an evening, I noticed that there was a different Doris Day movie being shown on television.
That was not the direction I was expecting this conversation to go.
Oh, no, I've got other stuff as well. No, this is, it's those, I don't know, there's something about those style of movies that really are a warm blanket. You sit down and you just, you let yourself watch it. Rock Hudson in Pillow Talk with her. You know, like, you know the stories, whether you've seen the movies or not. Like, you know the storylines, they're old storylines. Calamity Jane. I was like, this movie is very, I'd never seen it. I knew songs from it and everything. So when they were singing, I was like, oh, I know this. But it, I think you could interpret it really differently these days. You know, like, she was a tomboy. And I'm like, I think they would, there would be a different spin on this if it was made now. But Doris Day was, she was like the Meg Ryan before Meg Ryan was even a thing.
Whoa. Meg Ryan. Has anyone checked on Meg Ryan?
No, I don't think so. I was going to say maybe Russell Crowe might send her a text or who was she going out with as well? John Mellencamp, John Cougar Mellencamp. Do you remember? I don't know if they're still together or not, but that was a thing. Dennis Quaid.
I don't know.
Her son? Her son's an actor.
Her son?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack Quaid.
Yeah.
He's the main dude on The Boys. Yeah, he's great in The Boys. She broke Dennis Quaid's heart, so she's a harlot.
Oh.
Fuck you.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, those old movies are super comfy, cozy stuff to watch these days. You just want something fun.
We need that sort of stuff more than ever.
Yeah, and especially now that, you know, we don't have The Walking Dead, because that's finished suddenly. I'm still watching Westworld. I haven't watched this week's episode yet, but I'm kind of feeling really re-energized with this series so far. There's different things that are happening, and you get revelations every week, which, I mean, you did in the second season as well, but I feel like I'm holding on to understanding what's happening. Where, you know, sometimes in the second one, you're like, I'm not sure.
I don't know what that was.
I did want to bring this up last week, but I'd forgotten. But there's a really cool Easter egg, and I think it's the second episode of the third series of Westworld, where I was watching it, and it was the Easter egg was in a setting where I didn't really pay much attention. Then all of a sudden, I was like, hang on a second, I had to rewind it because I was like, I recognize someone next to a thing. And I rewound it.
I got on about it.
Yeah, I know. It was amazing. So Westworld is the show at the moment that I'm watching that is a little less lighthearted than everything else that I'm watching. It's sort of the thing that I'm diving into. I'm still watching Parks and Rec whilst doing jigsaw puzzles. Nice. I've moved on to a Where's Wally jigsaw puzzle at the moment, which I used to do all the time. And I haven't done this puzzle for years, so it's coming back to me pretty quickly, but they are difficult.
Do you remember where Wally is?
Yes. He's over to the right. Not up the top, though. Sort of in the middle.
What a larrikin.
I know. Have you seen the Where's Wally social distancing? With like four people drawn. That's not bad.
Acme's number two customers, right behind Wile E. Coyote. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
A couple of things I'll mention real quick in terms of comfort food stuff. Nailed It, season four. We've talked about Nailed It enough in the past.
Yeah, I've watched a bit of it as well. It's very funny. What I like is whenever Wes is called out, Jacques, I don't think they tell Jacques what Wes is going to be wearing.
No. Jacques doesn't know anything. Jacques kept in the dark about the entire show. Oh, yeah, I've read a thing with Nicole, and she's like, oh, yeah, Jacques purposely asked, don't tell him what's happening, so that he wants to be amazed. He cannot believe that he gets to be part of this show, and he wants to be bamboozled by all the stuff that they trot out. So, yeah, he purposely stays really aloof, so it's all a surprise for him. I love Jacques Doris.
He's so good. Well, I mean, Nicole's amazing as well. Quick question about Nailed It. What do you like more, when the contestants say Nailed It or when Nicole says, you're done?
You're done.
That's my favourite.
Yeah, that's what I'd say to Shay. You know, hey, come get out of the shower. You're done.
I've noticed that I can't stop saying, that's wild now, because she says it. And I've been listening to some of her podcasts, and it's so noticeable that I know exactly where I've gotten it from, and I can't stop because I think she's amazing, and her weeks are
They're pretty on point. That 90s episode one with the weave.
It was phenomenal.
It was tough.
Yeah.
She was on Lego Masters 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, maybe. She's good.
She's
real good.
So good. I sometimes listen to her podcast, Best Friends, with her best friend. And the stories they tell each other, you just smile the whole time. It's such a feel-good. She's just a feel-good person. I really like her. She's crazy.
Crazy. A lot of positivity. Crazy.
It's exactly what you need.
Speaking of crazy.
Yes.
Yesterday, I woke up at 8 o'clock in the morning on Easter Monday. Didn't need to, but still did because I remembered. It's Tiger King Extra episode. And it was. And I watched it straight away in the morning there. And it was just Joel McHale interviewing everyone who wasn't the main people on Tiger King. Did we learn anything interesting? No. Was it fun? Sure. It was no different to what David Spade's been doing or anyone else. It's just Netflix branded with maybe a little more easy connections to people and stuff. But yeah, I was down.
Everybody's so like thirsty for more Lion King stuff. Keep calling it Lion King, Tiger King.
They did amp it up that there was something coming. So our expectations were unjustifiably high, I imagine. It'd be hard to turn around a proper produced episode that quickly. But it was still interesting. And look, I got one last new thing recommendation to talk about. You need something right now that is going to cheer you up and give you a smile and go, well, that was dumb. Tim and Eric have a new show. It's called Beef House. That's Beef, B-E-E-F. So it's those three guys that used to be on Tim and Eric with them that are not actors and very clearly not actors. One of them doesn't speak English well. One of them has a speech impediment and one of them swears constantly.
Great. Great
then,
mix.
And then Jamie Lee Sigler, who was on Sopranos. She plays Eric's wife. She plays Eric's wife. And basically it's one of the best piss takes of Step by Step or Family Matters or the quintessential 90s TV show sitcom, like Home Improvement, all this sort of stuff. It's such a spot on piss take of all of that. The first episode is clearly what should have been the third episode.
Right.
I don't know if you remember, but there were plenty of shows like this back in the day where instead of starting with the pilot, they'd actually show the pilot to episode third because the third episode was when all the actors were gelling together better. So they lead with the strong content and then show the episodes out of order. That's all like they do this sort of stuff.
But on purpose.
On purpose, but it's a really, they're only 11-minute episodes. It's super, super dumb, but very, very clever takedown of a real snapshot of TV comedy history. And
you got me intrigued.
It's well worth a look. It's dumb. I cannot tell you enough how it's dumb, but that's the point.
Beef House.
Yeah. Beef House on Adult Swim.
Yep.
I miss Joe Pera. I wish Joe Pera was out. This is not the same, but it feels that same sort of silly comedy, heartwarming vibe. One episode, it's called Prunes. Tim has finally arranged a date with the neighbor, very hot neighbor. She got a hot tub and she's invited him over. But he's really nervous because he's been bunged up for days. Can't poop, guys. Bunged up for days. So they concoct a system with a set of bathing shorts with a tube out the back that they can connect to one of the hot tub nozzles. So when it gets warmed up and it makes him poop, it can all just come out the back and someone's got to hold the hose. Do you think the hose reaches the toilet in time?
No.
So it's one of the cheesy sitcom setups of, we were in this wild situation, but we've got to be tidied up before Eric's wife gets back.
Oh, that does sound fun dumb.
Your mileage may vary, but for anyone who's got a bit of a twisted sense of humor and watched plenty of 90s comedy, I think this is going to hit a bit of a sweet spot.
Yeah, so right.
That's why I hung on to last for that one, Beef House. That's my surprise of the week.
Beef House, all right. Well, seeing that was the last one, let's get into the quiz. I did tell you it's an Amy Poehler quiz.
Yes.
It's about synopsises, so it is called What Amy Poehler Movie or TV Show Is This? Who will know?
For fans listening at home, I'm doing my usual close my eyes during the quiz. I don't like looking at Leah, and it's even weirder when it's on this because if I look anywhere else, I'm reminded that I'm at home for the fifth week.
Yeah. Fifth week in a row. All right. Set on the last day of camp in 1981, this movie follows a group of counsellors who are trying to complete their unfinished business before the day ends. The entire summer. Have you got it yet?
Yeah. I'm just enjoying your synopsis. It's a wet, hot American summer. Yeah,
that's right.
And you know, like the second line in.
So the movie. So the movie.
Camp.
Yeah, so first one. What year do you reckon that came out?
95? No,
bit,
that's
bit,
way
bit
too
later. Bit later.
2001.
Yeah, absolutely. 2001. She of course played Susie.
I'm trying to put
Susie.
It in the timeline of various people. It's post state and
Right. Okay. I even enjoyed the Netflix series.
Yeah, it was great.
Adam Scott was suddenly Bradley Cooper's character.
Yeah, I found out just last week that Adam Scott is on Linz's list.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think it's the hair. Like, he's got good hair.
I think it's his winning personality because that's why she's with me. But I said, I see it. I allow it.
Yeah, nice.
I'll watch. Why not? Adam Scott, he's charming.
He's very charming, man.
What's the game he designs? The Knights of Quora? No. The Cones of Dunfar, or the one on Parks and Recreation.
Yes.
Already said
yes.
The first time he gets fired, he gets into stop animation and he does 3 weeks of work and makes 2.4 seconds worth of video. The second time he comes up with that game, which I think is called The Cones of Dunfar or something. So good.
I mean, I'm not up to that episode yet. I mean, I've seen it before, but my rewatch.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I've seen it.
Let me know when you get there.
Yeah, well,
it's a favorite.
Hear all about it. Teenage Katie Heron is educated in Africa by her scientist parents.
Mean girl.
Yeah, that's right. She plays.
You want me to cut you off, or have you worked?
Yeah,
no.
I'm happy. No, I copied and pasted from Google. So
okay. Yeah. I thought you'd been writing.
No. Okay. I've reworded it to take. Sometimes it says, "In Mean Girls," you know. Sure. Do you want to have a guess what year that is?
Mean Girls would be 2003.
Four.
Yeah. I knew it was four. I'm trying to put it, and I was like, oh, I saw that at Warringah Mall. And
yeah,
I
right.
Went to Warringah Mall between 2003 and 2005.
Yeah, Warringah Mall. Yep. Used to have a secret. There were three parking spots that were never actually part of the paid parking.
Right.
Like you would get in, you'd go in through the paid parking bit, but these were outside of the paid parking. I think they were probably employee ones, but there was no signage on there whatsoever. So we would park there. It was super close to the entrance and everything. And of course, they've renovated since they don't exist, but. Always remember those beautifully free parking. Unlimited too. So you could go and see a few movies. It wasn't close to the movie theaters though, so you'd have to do a bit of a walk. But, you know, juggle it like that. All right, this one is super easy because I'm just going to say it. Leslie Knope is the deputy director.
Parks and Recreation.
Yeah. Of course, Leslie Knope. Leslie Knope is the perfect name for that character.
It's a proper Michael Shore name. Like he comes up with nonsense names that somehow work, like a shell strop.
Yeah, exactly. What are we up to? Number three. Riley is a happy, hockey-loving 11-year-old Midwestern girl, but her world turns upside down.
Inside out.
Mm-hmm. And who was Amy Poehler? Yeah, I know.
She was Joy.
That's right.
Now I'm just thinking about.
That movie's a thing, isn't it? It really is. Do you want to guess what year?
2015. 15?
Not as old as I thought it was.
I think I'm thinking Up. Yeah.
Anyway. Up. Oh, gosh, Up. Yeah. Okay. This show features craftspeople skilled in different media, competing to be named the...
Making it.
Exactly. Two seasons of that? I've only seen one, but...
Yes, two seasons, one at Christmas just passed and one a year and a half earlier.
If you want to rewatch those, that, or if you want to watch them for the first time, that's another feel-good show that makes you feel.
That is peak. You will feel good from that.
Yeah, 100%. Last one. Six women question their friendships and futures when they travel to Napa Valley, California to celebrate a 50th birthday.
This is that thing you watched?
It was on Netflix last year. Yeah, Napa Valley, they were holding glasses of...
wine. Napa Valley wine.
Wine country.
There you go.
Yeah.
I know Maya Rudolph was probably in there.
Yeah, Maya Rudolph. She was there. You had, obviously, Amy Poehler, who was probably the main character. And Tina Fey was a supporting character, but she was ridiculous. I saw Tina Fey's character as either Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, or Maya Rudolph could have all played that character because it's the character that those three would make up together.
Sure.
You know, like create together. Yeah. Yeah, well done. You know you're Amy Poehler.
Thanks. A little bit.
She's been in a lot. I did want to throw in a bit of Broad City, but I think she's only in like one episode because she executive produced it.
I was trying to remember the name of that movie she did with Will Ferrell where they were running a casino from the basement. I don't remember what it's called.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't she in the movie, is it Blades of Glory, the ice skating one with her ex-husband? Yep. I think she's in that too.
Will Arnett.
Yeah, pretty sure.
So, yeah, if you want some great feel, if you need something right now that will take your mind off everything in the world, and this is taking off the silly voice and everything, blah, 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 being quite serious. If you need something that will cheer you up right now, the two recommendations I can give you that will work every time are Making It and Lego Masters, because they are competition shows that are focused on collaboration and, you know, celebrating people's individual merits. It's not about pushing anybody else down. It's just nice. And the world needs plenty of that.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing because at the moment the world's been pretty damn awesome and we're, you know, everyone's hitting pause and there's sort of real nice. Someone put up the other day, it's just like everyone's been afforded a moment of wholesomeness. Just playing outside, going for a walk, enjoying some nature,
doing puzzles, having a read, cooking stuff.
Keep that vibe going. Watch some positivity.
Absolutely. You know, we said it before. Ad nailed it to that list.
Yes.
You finish that show smiling.
Valuable.
Yeah.
These shows are valuable at the moment and it's very easy to sit there and watch the rolling news ticker and stuff. And I've turned a lot of that off.
Me too.
I read it all online and everything like that, but there's nothing to be gained. I mean, I'll hang shit. Nothing to be gained watching on TV because all that stuff was already online 4 minutes ago. So TV now is for escapism. And yes, I'm watching plenty of hyper-violent, ridiculous stuff, but I ain't watching Contagion. I'm not watching anything that's going to make me think about stuff in the world that doesn't benefit myself or anyone from me doing, whereas watching something positive puts me in a good mood and I walk into the room and pass on that positive energy to the people with me, or I jump on Zoom and I'm excited to tell other people about it and stuff. So it's a nice, we can put some positivity out in the world there, and that's what you and I try and do anyway all the time with
that's
this
show. That's how we
roll. We don't shit on stuff. No one sets out to make a bad movie or a bad TV show. Maybe the elements just didn't come together.
I also don't want to be that person that is known for doing that. Yeah, exactly.
But sometimes things come together so well that they're magic and you can feel that magic. In those three shows, they've captured something special. Everyone involved knows it and they love working on that show. And you will feel part of a little warm family with those people and stuff. And I don't know why I'm getting so weird and sentimental. 5 weeks at home. Fuck me. Let me go
it's
out.
A long time.
Go out.
You can go out for your walk around the block, but don't take the skipping rope.
Not again. Not again. That was awful.
That I hope you weren't too far from home. Like I
no,
hope
it's
the,
two doors down.
At least
it's an easy crawl back. Yeah. It just means I am going to see those neighbors again.
Yeah, now you will always have to walk the other way.
My poor balls.
On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
My poor balls.